American in lifestyle, global in spirit, Indian at heart. You're listening to Desi Tea Talks.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Desi Tea Talks with Aishwarya, Manasi, and myself, Parija. Thank you so far for watching and listening to all our episodes, and please continue to like and follow us on all our social media platforms. On today's episode, we have a very special guest, my childhood tennis buddy, Akshita Raj from Bangalore. 15 years ago, we used to play doubles together, and now she's a mom of two kids, and she has a blog, Fitness for the Fit Mom. So welcome to the show, Akshita.
Thank you, Team Desi Tea Talks.
So Akshita, can you give everybody just a little bit background about yourself? I know you a lot since you were probably like 8 years old, but I'm sure everyone would like to hear.
Hi, everyone. Like Parija said, I'm Akshita, and we've played on the international tennis circuit together, and we've played doubles a lot. So my fitness journey started way back then. The blogging is very recent, and the reason I started blogging was a lot of the fitness part has stayed on after the tennis days. It's something that was part of my lifestyle, and I'm so glad that I got to play a sport. I'm sure any sports person who's played at a certain level will agree to this, because it just, you know, makes your whole lifestyle mode itself different, because you're tending more to like stay fit on an everyday routine. So this has just carried on even after two kids. Like, I just had another baby 2 months ago, and nothing feels so tough when you're actually exposed to a sport at that level. So if there are any of y'all who are going to have kids, so that's one suggestion I give everyone. The child takes up the sport professionally or not, you guide them to, like, you know, pick up a sport of their choice so that it teaches them a good lifestyle routine. So that's a key factor before we move into anything more. Like, I'd first like to say that to anyone, a parent or mom-to-be, anyone. So yeah, apart from that, I'm an MBA graduate. I've been in India, and I do follow a lot of traditional practices also through pregnancy, and that's also helped the fitness part. So there's a connect between traditional practices and well-being and, you know, fitness of today, like workouts of today. So I've done a blend of both, and it's been great for me.
So cool there, you know. I always tell Parija is a sports person. My sister is actually a basketball player. She's a national level basketball player back in India. My husband used to play basketball until college. So I'm surrounded by all the sports people, and I definitely see the difference in the attitude. You know, there is, you learn so much by being in that team, especially playing a sport, being there for your team and doing it. So I totally understand that. And that's a skill that I wish I played a sport early on. I never did. Parija really tried to teach me tennis, didn't work out.
Time, trust me.
So what's the name of your blog, Akshita?
So I'm on the handle Fitness for the Fit Mom. Name came in, but I started blogging when I had my first son. So I was actually targeting moms who didn't have enough support. Like, all we did was Google search and, you know, ask around. And I was one of the first among my friends to have a baby. So I didn't know where to look. So I said, okay, I did my own research, and I had a lot of fitness gyan. So I said, let me just put all of this together and start writing about what I'm experiencing. So it's very personal, the blog. Like, I write about my own experiences through motherhood, what has helped me, little things which, you know, really go a long way in helping, like pointers on breastfeeding or very, very like things that you won't probably get support on online, and you won't know who to ask or something like that. So yeah, those are a few things that I write about.
That's so cool, Akshita. I have to say though, like, for having given birth just 2 months ago, you look nothing like what I would think you to look. You look like you haven't put on any weight at all. Not that that's a bad thing or anything, but you look great, so that's a good thing. But you know what, I agree. Like, I feel like even if your friends and your family, the network that you have, everybody talks mostly about the good things and the things that you already know or you would know, but nobody talks about the difficult things with breastfeeding, postpartum. So it's great that you're actually writing about this, especially being Indians, we're prude about talking about the really difficult things. So I'm glad, you know, you're bringing it up, and it's an open world now where you can actually, you know, talk about it out in public, and it's okay. It's not like a taboo, oh my gosh, you can't breastfeed in public. You can't talk about breastfeeding in public or anything like that. So kudos to you. Really, really appreciate that.
Thanks.
So, and then speaking of that, what pointers would you give for somebody who's, you know, none of us have kids, obviously, as you know, but what pointers you'd give to somebody who, not necessarily right away, but wants to, you know, eventually have kids, to keep up with that fitness lifestyle, to be able to, you know, go postpartum isn't just after, right? You have to maintain that lifestyle throughout. So what are some tips you would give to somebody who's not yet had a child, but potentially could in the future, just with respect to fitness and health?
Right. So I have a lot of people asking me, like, you know, I'm going to plan a year from now, or, you know, I'm already like in the process. So whenever it is, I suggest that you start a basic fitness routine. You know, that goes a long way. So tennis probably has helped me a lot, but you can start even whenever, like just before you plan to have a baby. So that's what I tell them, like make it a part of your routine. It shouldn't be like, you know, you do like a 45 minute workout one day that's really intense and then stop for the next 2-3 days. Put something in your lifestyle that you can manage every day. A good 15-20 minutes is good enough too. That's a suggestion I'd like to give. Let them start on a very gradual basis, because you don't want to go high and, you know, drop down, and keep that until you even conceive. So I'll probably go a little more into detail. So I usually, they wouldn't know until they're 6 weeks in or 7 weeks in when they get pregnant. So until then, you're still doing your routine. So that's okay. But once you know, I'd suggest like until you hit the week 15 mark, take it really light and slow, even if you've been an athlete, because that's the time when, you know, a lot of things are happening with the baby forming inside. So post that, it's more stable. Like even science says it, and even our traditional practices, they say like, you know, after you hit that 3 mark month, you're good to like, you know, take in some more rigorous forms. Not very rigorous. If you've been an athlete, you still can, because I continue to play tennis even in my 39th week this time, which was totally okay. So it really depends on what fitness routine you've been doing prior to falling pregnant. So if you've exposed yourself to that kind of intensity, you can go back to that, you know, at least 80 to 90% through pregnancy also. I would say make it a part of your lifestyle. So you don't have to like start when you get pregnant. That's a wrong thing to do, because your body is, you know, first of all, trying to get used to the workout, and you're already having a baby. So don't mix those two things up. Start much before when you think you want to fall pregnant if you're planning it.
So that's a thing to say, right? I mean, you know, when you get pregnant, especially coming from an Indian family and how I've seen things around me, it's like, oh, you've gotten pregnant. It's just like a disease that you have to stay put and do. You'll be very surprised. Back in Germany, that was my first time working, and my colleague, she was, I think, 5 months pregnant or something. She used to bike to work, and she used to do intense biking. Like some 6-7 kilometers one side each. So she used to do that level of biking, and I used to be like, are you sure you have a baby inside? Don't do that. She's like, absolutely fine. And I think you're right, Akshita. It is something, it's not a taboo, like it is part of your life cycle, right? Your body is going through the changes, but you definitely need to give that momentum. If you've done the fitness part early on, you can continue, but you should somehow do something during the pregnancy. That's a great thing that you are, you know, you're educating people. It's a big education.
You know, a lot of times people, or that's what I hear, is that, you know, as soon as you get pregnant, they start doing strength training all of a sudden, and they've never done strength training before. They would just do like casual 15-20 minutes walk or a 2 miles run. But a lot of people, because I don't know why, they feel like their back needs to get stronger, so they start lifting more weights, and they feel like post-pregnancy, it will help them retain their body. Now, I do not know how true that is. I know that you are more of a cardio person since you were young, and I'm pretty sure you probably continued that, right?
Yes, I did, Pari. But I also did do the strength training part, but I would suggest, like, even athletes, like, or who have played a sport, like, initially, like, through your pregnancy, you should, like, you do a lot of own body weight exercises like that. You can strengthen your muscles need the strength, but your own body weight is sufficient enough to, you know, build that strength. So say a lot of doctors suggest doing squats and lunges. Use your own body weight first. Like, you know, if you're starting before conceiving, then start with your own body weight, then build on to a little bit of adding on of weights. And then in pregnancy, go back to own body weight. Like, it's just that it's a fad that they say, you know, you start strength training with dumbbells and lots of weights and you'll be fine. There's so much you can do with your own body weight, and that's more than sufficient through pregnancy also. Like a mix of cardio and that is takes you a long way. And another part is yoga. So coming from India, it's not that here, but even if I was probably a foreigner, I would have probably still gotten onto this practice because the benefit of yoga is unbelievable, like especially for the pelvic floor area.
I love it. I love yoga. I think that's one thing that that's keeping me sane in COVID time. So I totally agree with you on this one.
Yeah. And I think yoga is just so popular all over the world now, especially prenatal yoga. And there's all kinds of yoga for all, you know, throughout your pregnancy too. But I think it really depends on person to person and body type to body type. Because I've had friends, like you mentioned, you were, you know, active even at 39 weeks. I've had friends who literally were being, I think, in the dance industry. Like I have friends who were dancing at 39 weeks as well. But I have other friends who basically were not bedridden, but they really couldn't do any workout because their pregnancy was just, they had nausea all the time. They just couldn't, you know, they just couldn't do much of a workout other than like maybe a little bit of a walk. So it really depends on body. And like, this is what I've heard as I've grown older, you know, that listen to your body. Like everybody tells you, like your body knows it. So if you know, if you can think you can handle it, do it. So it really gotta trust your body. I think that's a key thing to do, especially during pregnancy. Right, Akshita?
Yes, totally. Because even for me, there used to be like a time where for 3 or 4 days, I just wouldn't feel like I would be so tired or, you know, just mentally so off. I would just give myself that time and say, okay, I don't feel like doing it. I don't. But the next day after those 4 days, I would have so much energy. It would just all come back. Like I'd start like, you know, from then. So like you said, listen to your body. That's the best. Like it knows when it wants to push, especially in pregnancy, because, you know, there are times when probably your blood circulation is a little low or your BP is falling low. So take it easy then. You'll have to listen to your body. That it gives you all the signs. So like you said, that's the best solution for that. And about being rested in pregnancy, a lot of people, because like you said, every body is different. So you can't say, you know, she's able to like do that and I'd have to push myself to do it. Don't ever do that, because your body has been like that for years earlier. So understand it and then take a step towards what you can or what you will be able to do to pregnancy. That's another thing. It's like a disclaimer. Like whenever anybody says, oh my God, how can you do this? I'm like, no, see, there's a lot that happens before. There's a lot of things that go into it. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's easier to train your body when it isn't trying to grow another human being. So if your body's already accustomed to it, it would be, you know, it's just logical, right? It will be easier to transition even through that pregnancy phase, maybe not as hardcore as you were before. And I think that's what I've heard. Like if you've done something before, you can continue to do it through your, you know, take it easy, but continue through your pregnancy. But again, like strength training and all, like everybody says, you have to start with body weight. I totally agree. Body weight first, whether you're pregnant or not. Start with body weight first and build onto it if you think you can handle that. So I totally agree with that.
And it's fine, man. I mean, pregnancy or non-pregnancy, we are dealing with so much of estrogen anyway. So
problems.
Yeah, always.
So actually, you have 2 kids, right?
Yeah.
What's the age difference between them?
Yeah. 4.5 years apart.
And I remember seeing one of your stories on Instagram, and you had specifically mentioned that you waited for that many years before having the second baby. And would you like to share that again?
Yeah, I would, because everyone who's planning to have 2 kids, always this is the question that pops up in your mind when your little one is about, the first one is about a few months or a year into living. You're like, when do I have the second one? Is it too soon now? Or do I want to do it later? You know, what is the good gap between children? So I'd say that's a personal call to make. And I chose to have it a little later because I wanted to spend time with my first, because it was new. I was new to motherhood and I wanted to understand him, and even education-wise, like I wanted to make sure that base of the first 3-4 years of kindergarten is strong, because he's a lot more independent now. And it makes things so much easier to deal like with the second one, because he understands, he helps around. So that's my reason of why I chose to give that gap. But I do agree with people who say, you know, a 2 year, a 1.5 year gap is something. Like, I want to be done quick, like one after the other, and I'm done. So you have your own personal opinion. So that was a very personal reason I chose to give the gap. And I feel like it's a good thing I did. Like, when I see the days now, like when I see him with the younger one, I think it's great. So, yeah.
So how was, like, your fitness journey? How was it different between the two? Was your first one easier to bounce back into your, you know, the same? I know it's hard, obviously, it takes a little bit of time, but do you think your first one is easier to get back into shape and get back into your normal routine than your second one? Because I've heard, like, the second one is where, you know, it's really hard to come back to that original routine and shape and all that.
Right. Yes, they do say that, but that also might be because, you know, you would have aged about 2-3 more years. So that's another thing. But I think for me, I could push myself physically more in the second, because somewhere in the back of your mind, you're like, I've been there, done that. So I know I can push myself more than this, you know, it's safer. Like, it's my, like, your experience more than the first time around. So I think I did a lot more intense and rigorous forms of the variation in exercise in the second one. So I feel like I was stronger than compared to the first, because you're so careful, you know, you're new to being pregnant and all of that in the first. So clear, like very, very clearly, I didn't feel a difference between the two, but maybe because of the age and having another one, because they're almost 4.5 years apart, I think I do feel a little tired after I'm running around him, like at the end of the day. So that didn't happen in the first. So maybe that was the only difference, but otherwise I think both have been equally pleasant, like fitness wise. And not being exhausted.
You're lucky, because my doubles partner in college, like, she was very active. And when she had her first kid, she was playing a lot as well. So it was so easy for her till like 7 months. She did not even feel any morning sickness or anything. And then for her second kid, she's like, Parija, I just sat on the couch for 3 years and did not do anything. And I felt sickness since day one. So I mean, like you said, it is so important to stay active and continue your fitness.
To your point, Akshita, it's very, very personal. And something I'd like to tell our viewers that, guys, this is a very personal journey that our guest is sharing, something that we've learned. By no means this is we are any nutritionists or fitness experts. So always please consult your doctors when you are indulging in any fitness activities. A big disclaimer here, especially prenatal and postnatal. Yeah.
So I just want to, you said a good point there. So a same mother can have two very different pregnancies. Even for me, in the second one, the nausea part was very bad. Like the first I didn't. So it's so much to do with estrogen, like she mentioned. So I was like, it does not have to be the same. Like, you're like, okay, I'm going to have to run through the same journey the second time around. No, it's never like that. So that's a point that you made. So I just wanted to go a little more into that.
Are you planning more kids?
I'm so done. Oh, I love babies. I don't mind like having another one. And then, you know, I love that 0 to 2, you know, period years. It's lovely.
Akshita has a twin brother, by the way.
Oh, Akshita. Wow. Yeah. Do you follow like any particular diet regimen, either during or before or after, or did you just go with your gut feeling the whole time?
Routinely, like since I've been playing tennis, like, nutrition at home is quite stable and good, because everyone eats healthy, because for years I've been into a sport, and that's just blended into everyone. Like, everyone eats better, like that's what happens. So postpartum in India, like they say, the first 40 days postpartum is really crucial to recovery, be it mainly diet. Like, workouts don't even come into the picture. You're just under a lot of rest. And you're eating very, very limited and restricted, because, you know, you're feeding and the baby is also like, you know, dependent on what you eat. So nothing cold, nothing gassy. You're only drinking a lot of warm water. And there are restrictions on vegetables and fruits that you can eat. You can't eat raw. So mainly because the baby is dependent on you, and your uterus is, you know, contracting and getting back to what it was earlier. So they keep you warm and they give you warmer, warm foods. And, you know, they do believe in this Vata Pitta. Like, Ayurveda is definitely something that, you know, is a boon to us. So I don't really follow Ayurveda fully, but this comes from there, like, you know, the hot foods and the cool foods. Yeah. Diet restrictions are definitely made in the first 40 days to 2 months, like 40 to 60 days. And it's good if you follow it. A lot of ghee. So it's not.
I'm going to ask you that.
You cannot have the ghee.
Yeah, like I've heard, like, you know, the first 40 days are so crucial and how much ghee you should have, and especially when you're breastfeeding. So I love rajma rice, and I my mom always tells me sometimes that, you know, you cannot be eating so much rajma rice if you actually have a baby, because it, like you said, you cannot have too much gassy food. That's one.
No, but I think I've heard about ghee too. It helps in healing in general, to heal sooner. Because don't they make, especially in India, they make laddus, which are these sweet balls, and they put like a lot of ghee in it. I think it's just for the healing of the yoga. Definitely. I think that's not a myth. It's a very well-known fact now that really helps you.
Yes, it does. Also, you know, when I say like there are restricted fruits, so most moms tend to, you know, get into a constipation mode in the beginning. So ghee is like such a good portion there. Like I suggest everyone to do it, because see, these are not, I've written about constipation. So these are things that nobody tells you. So I touch base on that because they're like, oh my God, okay, wait, so this does happen. Otherwise everyone's like, okay, you have to have a lot of ghee. Okay. Don't have this, eat that. I'm like, who talks about constipation? My God, you suffer about it. So, so ghee really helps in that too, because you can't have bananas. Like those are cold foods that actually aid recovery from constipation, but you can't eat it. So what, you have to replace it with something else.
Papaya is also one. Like you shouldn't have papayas throughout the pregnancy. That's also one.
Yeah. That's again the heat cold factor that I was mentioning. So yeah, it causes a lot of heat, so it might affect the fetus. So they say don't. But I had one or two pieces every morning, very ripe, like very, very ripe. Make sure it's not raw at all. And it's totally fine because, you know, you're doing everything in a little, that's what I'm saying. You blend your traditional practice with the contemporary, you know, what you think is right and wrong. And also ask your nutritionist or doctor, like put in a word. So no doctor today will say, no, don't eat papaya at all. Like they all know that it's fine. Like, you know, you're not eating like half a papaya, you're just eating a piece or two. So that's totally
Yeah. Well, nowadays doctors even say you can have a little bit of wine here and there, it's fine. So it just depends on what you really believe and what you really want to stick to. It's really a personal choice, and I just generally feel everything in moderation should be okay, as long as you know your body and you can handle it and you know what's best for you.
That's true. I agree.
So Akshita, I had a question for you.
Yes.
For somebody who would be trying to conceive, for example, mm-hmm. how big of a role does fitness play in fertility in general? Do you have any insights on that?
Yeah, I could help with that also. See, the thing is, a lot of it depends on blood circulation. Like once you conceive, like the baby receives everything through blood. So to get that to be at a good level, I think you need to like get your body fit, because you know you're like completely active and moving around. So even general fitness is required to help you conceive. So I think it's a must. Like I said, a 15, 20 minutes, like walk for 10 minutes and give your body a good stretch and a few own body weight exercises. That's good enough, like on an everyday basis. So at least that much is a must, like before you conceive.
So, okay, this is like for the women, right? Obviously, a lot of the undertaking is on women, but for somebody, again, for couples who are trying to conceive, does obviously health and fitness play a big role for, you know, the man who plays a part in this as well too, right?
Definitely. Fitness as well as lifestyle, like food and health, you know, like the minute you go to a doctor, every doctor's like, do you practice any of the following? Do you smoke? Do you drink? Or, you know, how is your daily food intake? So for both of the would-be parents, so it's equally important. And if you have heard, like if they have been trying to conceive and haven't been able to, both parents get tested. It's not just the mother. So like you're totally right. Like and fitness definitely helps both of them. So I'd say if, you know, both of y'all have the time limit for it, just work out together like for about 20 minutes to half an hour in the morning before you head to work and you're good. Like, you know, a quick run or a jog and some own body weight exercises. And for the man, a little bit of strength. See, they don't have restrictions on strength training through pregnancy. So you can even start then. You know, they can start. So
that's an excellent idea. And that's a good way to bond with your partner too. So highly, highly recommend that.
Yes.
So I know we talked a little bit about prenatal conceiving and then a little bit through the pregnancy. What are your, I know you said the first 40 days after delivery are kind of crucial in healing. Do you suggest working out during that period, or working out as in at least like getting some sort of exercise, and or do you just recommend after the 40 days or 30 days, whatever it is that doctors recommend?
Right. So here, it firstly depends if you've had a vaginal delivery, that's a normal delivery, or a cesarean. If you have had a normal delivery and you've been pleasantly active through pregnancy, at 4 weeks postpartum, that's around 30 days, you can start. You can start with, you know, actually when you're leaving the hospital itself, they give you a couple of exercises that you can do. Kegels is something that's such a good thing that you should do, even like just before you deliver, about a month before, and post delivery also. It really helps you contract your uterus, like, you know, to get it back. And to shed away anything else that's remaining in your uterus post-birth. You're bleeding in the beginning. So all of that just comes out better when you start doing Kegels. And it also tightens the area in that. So that and a few basic ab exercises, like, you know, basic crunches. So these you can even do from around 2-2.5 weeks if you've been pleasantly at the post-delivery. So these are a few things that you can do. I'd suggest walking around in the house when you're changing the baby and up and down. Steps are not to be done because you know you might have stitches down there, or even if you have a C-section on your near your tummy. So no steps up and down, but walk around in the house, you know, carrying your baby. So activeness to that limit is enough for the first 3-4 weeks. So post that, you can start with, you know, walking. I'd suggest because of the whole corona and the pandemic, if you're like looking at it now, right now, just, you know, walk at home on a treadmill instead of going out, and then just stretch yourself a bit and do these Kegels and abs a little bit. So you have like a half an hour, 40 minute, you know, thing at your hand, and finish up with that much at 4 weeks. You can start like this.
Akshita, you also, I remember seeing stories about the birthing ball and some sari tying, which was something I had never seen before. So what was that all about?
So sari tying is a very traditional practice. They actually do it all across India, and I did it in my first. So like I said, we're working at contracting uterine muscles back to normal, right? So this aids that, like the binding of the sari. And then that's a traditional practice. And the belt on top of the sari is a contemporary thing that I figured out. So this is, you know, how I try to like blend both of them to get the goodness of both. So sari tying helps with that basically. And it's not for your fat to go away or your stomach to sink in. It's mainly for your pelvic floor strengthening. Like it makes it more stable. Your back is a little wobbly and, you know, when you just about deliver. So it just stabilizes that whole area, the sari binding. Because you're binding like literally from your lower abs to your up, just below your bust.
My mom did it. So this is a very traditional practice. And I remember my mom doing it. So that's so nice to, you know, see it still have a contemporary touch. So cool.
Yeah,
I've actually never heard about it, but it makes total sense because it kind of helps you keep your core together. So that does totally make sense. And that's very cool.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I always thought that, you know, people do it so their bellies won't grow or something like that.
I'm sure there's still a misconception around that.
Akshita, like postnatal, especially how it is done in India and how it is done in the Western countries, I've seen there's a lot of care a woman goes through, especially in India, with all the spas and the massages, and your body is broken, you need to do this, you need to do that. I know for a fact that a friend of mine, when she delivered a baby, for the first 40 days, I think she had very regular massages and whatnot, healing treatment, just getting the body back in shape. Have you had to do something like that?
Yes, I did. So the first 40 days, every day you get a massage done. From usually the japa or the lady who, you know, massages the baby, she also expertises in the mother massages. So we do suggest that you get it done. It's good because your skin is healed. Everything's like, you know, in a healing process.
Yeah.
So it really is a short 15 to 20 massage, and then post that you're having a very hot, you basically aim at keeping your body very warm.
Yeah.
So you have a bath. And another practice that they follow is like a distance of, at about a distance of 20 meters, you're standing 20 meters away from the Japa lady, and she splashes water through a vessel on your stomach. You know, it they say it cleanses out, you know, whatever's remaining. So, you know, like about 10 shots of that on your stomach and on the back. So this is another thing that I haven't written about, and, you know, I would want to. So that, thanks for reminding me. So yeah, practices like these are traditional.
Yeah, because I've seen so much about the spas, especially both the newborn baby and the new mother, right? And like I've seen, and that's not a thing I've seen in the Western countries. I've seen girls just go and they're back at work. Sometimes I feel, are you completely healed? Are you ready to work?
Yeah, it's definitely something that's not practiced here for sure. Like massages, even for the baby, you know, usually you give, the mother gives the baby a massage. We don't have, like, people don't have help here to do any of that. So that's definitely a perk of living in India, to have that lady come in for massages.
Yeah, it's so medicinal. It's so, like, it's so well done, especially with the growth of all your bones and the muscles. I spas, why not?
I think that's why our parents want to, like, they plan like the 6-month trip to America just around the pregnancy time, just so they could do all these things. But 40 days of massages, that's okay. I'll have
Hell
it
yeah.
now. Yeah.
I think they give you like full body massages and head massages and whatnot.
No, with the stitches and stuff, the first 2 weeks are hard. Like, you're just like, I don't want to do anything. So even that's like work to get a massage done. You're like, you know, oh my God, okay, let me finish. So after that, it gets pleasant. Like after 2 weeks, you're like, oh, looking forward to her coming and massaging. And it's nice.
So I have one more question for you, Akshita. I've heard there's a lot of wisdom that you get as when you become a mother, especially postnatal, and you've had 2 babies. So have you seen like a special mental strength in you? And like, because that adds to your fitness value, not just physical, but the mental strength.
Yes. Oh, totally. Patience, tolerance, having to wait to eat, or, you know, when you're just sitting down to eat, your baby's crying. So, and physically and mentally, I think it just makes you so empowered. You're like, I can do like a lot more because I've already, like, you know, raised 2 kids and, you know, had the patience, mainly patience, because you're in your own world before that, doing your own thing, and, you know, you planned everything, you're so organized. But it lets you understand, you know, life can be like this and let it go a bit. It's totally fine because they're kids, they're your kids, so you have to like spare it all out. So that's one thing I've definitely learned.
So one of the things that a lot of people, you know, don't share or don't like to share, obviously we talk quite a bit about physical health, but mental health, especially postpartum, I know some ladies, like, you know, everything's about the baby. So a lot of, nobody focuses a lot, especially like Indian culture, on the mother, especially when it comes to mental health. And I've heard that ladies go through depression and a lot of, because of hormonal imbalance that generally happens. I don't know if you personally had that experience, but I'm sure you have some wisdom on that as well.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. I'll tell you, the day I delivered my first son, I was really happy. Like, you have a surge of happiness when you deliver, and then that you don't realize you'll have to breastfeed. There's so many things after that that nobody has told you about, and you're like, oh my God, what has happened to me? Like, you know, what has changed? Like, that whole night I was awake, like the day he was born, we were in the hospital, I said, I'm still trying to latch on and all of that. And then at around 3 o'clock, I just started crying. I was like, oh my God, I didn't think it was going to be like this, you know? And this hits a lot of mothers, because you know you're going to be happy, but it's really, really like a, you know, it just gives you a jolt and it says, okay, your life has changed. So this, they take a few moms, like, take it okay, because I also think, you know, there's a saying that you need a village to raise a baby. And if you have like a lot of support at home, and if you have like your parents visiting, if you're in America, it's nothing like it, like no other moral support like it. So you need that kind of, you need people around, like at least 2 to 3 other people who can, like, you know, keep telling you good things and, you know, saying, okay, listen, I'll hold the baby for a while. So if you're only a husband and wife, like, you really need the support of your husband. Talk a lot, you know, talking really helps. So you know, if anyone will get into that depression mode, at least, you know, for a bit during that time. So that's, and fitness and all of this actually helps you, you know, gain back that confidence. So yeah, you can totally deal with the depression. It's not, you know, a thing that you'll have to think about so much, but you'll have to pick yourself up. You know, that's the biggest solution.
And I think all of this is kind of interrelated. Physical health helps with mental health and vice versa. So I think it's just up to you, really. I mean, you can have as much support as you can, but it's really, I think, something you go through personally.
I'm so glad we even talked about it, because these are the things, you know, they were never even touched back in the day. I think, you know, funny story, my mom told me that when she had me, she was 22. She had me and she forgot that she had a baby that night. And she just, you know, she just turned around and she slept. And the nurse came scolding. And like, imagine a 22-year-old woman just had a baby and somebody coming and scolding that, oh, you have a baby, how did you just forget? And she's like, she had a sudden realization that, you know, she has a new person to take care of. So these were the things that never even occurred during our parents' time. But I'm so glad we at least talked about this. We are at least aware of these things. Thanks for sharing this up, Akshita.
Welcome, Akshita.
Akshita, on your blog, there is more than just fitness. There is fly, fashion, forest. Please tell us more about it.
So like I said, it's not a solely, like, you know, blog that I just write, right? So it's very personal. So I've actually, you know, written out what I write about. So forest is because my husband works in that area of expertise. So we head to the forest very often. So we're, you know, seeing a lot of wildlife. And I'm also, you know, sharing stories on where I visit. So, you know, people who are interested can look into that. So that's the forest part. And fly is about the traveling, actually. So like most of us today, I do like to travel, but with two at hand now, I think that's going to be, you know, a little hard. But travel during tennis times, like, I really miss that. And even now, like, wherever I go, like, just to share things that might help people who want to visit the same place, so things like that. So that was the fly part. Fitness and fit mom is what we've spoken about for all this while. And food is also, it goes hand in hand with fitness. So whatever, like, you know, can help the health part of people who are following me. So that part is for that. So it's basically, you know, most things in a lifestyle or a daily routine. Like, I put up things related to all of that. So yeah.
And also fashion. I remember Akshita as a kid, like, she used to be one girl who used to be dressed up so nicely every single time that playing doubles with her sometimes used to be a hard thing, because you know how a doubles partner wants to match. And I'm like, I don't have that much stuff like she does. So I remember asking her sometimes, like, do you have two of those? Maybe I'll wear the same shirt so we can match.
Yeah, so cute. I don't remember. That's nice.
Yeah,
I think it comes a lot from my mom. Like, she's very much into fashion, though it's mostly sometimes traditional. Like, I picked up a lot from her. And I think Bangalore and growing up is just, you know, it's very contemporary. So that has grown into me, and I'm passionate about it. So, but I just, you know, write about my outfit details and whenever people ask. And I like dressing up traditionally, so even that comes in. So the fashion part is about that.
I love Bangalore saris, I'm sure. Follow you for all of that tradition.
That's cool. So you're clearly, you're super talented. All to all our viewers, go follow Akshita. She does an amazing job at everything that she does, clearly.
Yeah, I'm so glad that, you know, we had this session with you, Akshita. So much to learn from you, prenatal, postnatal, in general, life wisdom. I think it's evident how strong of a woman and a mother you are. Kudos to you.
Kudos. We're very proud of you. And I hope that we can all take something good from here and just, you know, strive to do better in our fitness journey.
Nice to hear that, really.
Akshita, how was it delivering your second baby during the COVID times?
Yeah, that's another question I get asked. So forget delivering, like, the whole pregnancy, like, the corona had already started. So it was all over. And my doctor was about 12 feet apart in every appointment. So only when I was in my 9th month did they actually physically check the, you know, a baby in uterus. So like, you know, when they put their hand to all of that, because it was contactless appointments throughout. So yeah, that was one thing. And there was in the 7th month, I think she just gave me such a scare because the rates were just going up so high. She's like, I want you to isolate yourself completely because, you know, if you do with the virus, like when you're about to deliver, there's not much we can do. You'll probably have to go to the, you know, municipal corporation and find out where you can go to which hospital, because things were very serious then. So she just gave me a good jolt. So I was very, very careful. And that, I was glad she did, because until then I was slightly like, okay, you know, still like probably like going out a little bit and stuff like that. So after that, I just completely, you know, was house arrested. And I said, okay, listen, I can't risk this. And that was that. And the delivering part, I delivered completely with an N95 mask because the hospital was that strict. So I had the mask on completely, like through labor for almost 12-13 hours. I had to be on it. But trust me, with the pain going down there, you don't care for a mask or anything. The mask is the least thing you'll have in your conscious, you know, self. Like you're just only worried about what's happening down there. So now once you're in that flow, it doesn't really matter. So that was, but you know, the nurses and all of them are really helpful, so they're around you, and that was nice. But it truly was one hell of a different experience compared to the first.
Yeah, it wasn't it scary though, like the whole 7-8 months, no contact with the, like, you know, just that comfort that you get when the doctor actually touches you and tells you everything's okay. And I don't know, I would be so scared.
True, but being the second, like a few doubts were cleared because I knew what it was. But you know, anything I would just ask her and they would just say, you know, it's like that and like this. But I'm sure if I asked for it, they would probably touch. But there was not a time in my pregnancy where I wanted it. So I said, okay, fine, let it be. It's fine. So yeah. Also, another thing was after the baby was born, they were so skeptical about so many nurses touching the baby. So they would actually, you know, not come close to baby so much. So we had to do most of it. And I was discharged within a day because I had a normal delivery, because my doctor was like, don't hang around anymore, just head back home. So in about 20 hours, I was in the hospital, delivered and back home. So I said, okay, fine, if it's for the safety of it. So the first 2-3 days were hard because, you know, when you're in the hospital, like you have help and, you know, people are coming and checking on you. But at home, it's just your mom or, you know, whoever's or your husband who's around. So yeah, these are the few differences, you know, of having a baby in the COVID times and otherwise. So yeah.
Sometimes feel for that.
Other kudos to you.
Yeah. Kudos to you.
Thanks. But like I said, you know, a lot of support from home actually helps, your husband and your mom or your mother-in-law. It could be anyone. So that was really good. You're a lot more confident.
I think you should send Auntie to US when all three of us have babies.
Yeah, I should. She's gotten like good at it. So yeah.
And thank you, Akshita.
Welcome.
Okay, guys, this is it for today. Thank you for watching and listening to us. Please remember to share and subscribe to all our channels. And please, please share it with all your friends and families. We need all those views. Thank you.